Lover's Day from Fort Knox, Kentucky. And typically you get through the Nashville area and the Birmingham area, and it's rough. Nashville's terrible. I don't believe the people there understand like where they're supposed to be going, what lane they're supposed to be in. And it's always a difficult time going through there. But thankfully, I made it through there before the 5 o'clock traffic and then got to Birmingham. And, of course, everything that you got 15 lanes on each side, right? I-65, and it's still bottlenecks. But anyhow, just thankful that Lord provided safety for me. I'll introduce my family, if it's okay, during the service. And so that way you can have a chance to kind of know who everybody is. We'll quiz you later and make sure you remember their names. So in the Army, oftentimes we have, you know, field assignments, and we'll be in the field for 3 days. Sometimes we're in the field for a couple weeks. We've gone to the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California. And then we've, you know, been to places like Fort Polk there for training. And we're gone for 30 days. And so I will tell our soldiers, our objective there is a mission. They've got a mission, right? And it's not anything spiritual, right? We're getting ready for wartime. And so they're in the field and they're doing a bunch of different field exercises and training and preparation for our deployment. And so the chaplain doesn't get much of an opportunity to be able to share something with them, so I have to do it fairly quickly. So I will tell them, now, you know, you can imagine us being out in the field for several weeks. We don't get a chance to take care of hygiene, right? Trying to be nice and polite and kind. We just don't get a chance to take a bath, right? And so there's this stench that surrounds us constantly. And so anyhow, I will tell my soldiers, I'll say, after we eat some chow or whatever, I'll grab them and I want to give them something from God's Word. And so I'll tell them, I'll ask the question, I'll say, so how many of you would love to have some soap right now? You know, just to clean your body, you know, and smell a little bit better, you know. And they're all like, oh, yes, chaplain, yeah, I'd love to be able to take a shower, you know. And so I will tell them, I want to give you some soap this morning. S-O-A-P. I'm going to provide some scripture. We're going to observe what the Word of God said. We're going to make some application, right? And then we're going to pray and we'll get out of here. Now, typically with them, I don't get a whole lot of time, maybe about 10 minutes when we're in that type setting. I will try my best not to hold you here longer than 10 minutes this morning. I've already been warned. Where's he at? Oh, there he is. Yeah. I got my eye on him. Yeah. And y'all know who it was too, don't you? Yeah. If by chance he was younger than me, I would put him in the front-leaning rest position. But since I think he is a couple years older than me, I will hold off on that. And wait, I didn't say that. Yeah, my grandmother taught me growing up, right, respect your elders. So I will respect time being, and y'all give me about 10 minutes and I'll be done. Do me a favor, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17 first. We're not going to be in Luke chapter 17. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18, but I want to kind of set the stage for you, if you will, for just a moment. So turn to Luke chapter 17. And I would like for you this morning to read. Man, you're making us do work? Yes, I'm making you do work. I want you to read. Take just a moment. It's about 15, 16 verses. Look at Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 22. starting with verse 22, and just read to the end of that chapter for me. Shouldn't take you but just about 2-3 minutes. As you finish reading, you can just look up here. All right, I think that's most of us. Okay, very good. So Luke chapter 17, verses 22 and following. What do you think Jesus is referring to there as you read the passage? Now, if I knew some of your names, I would have asked one of you to read it for us. But since I don't know everybody's name, I got Randy's down pat, right? But what do you think Jesus Christ is talking about here in this particular passage? Yes, sir?
Second coming.
Second coming. All right, so he's talking about the second coming here in this passage. And, you know, it's interesting as I read this, you know, he talks about, you know, Noah, he talks about Lot and what took place there. You know, Noah, there were 8 souls, right, that were spared. Noah, his wife, and then, you know, his 3 sons and daughter-in-laws. And then you come to Lot and... you know, Abraham, you know, goes to the Lord on behalf of Lot. If you remember the passage in Genesis chapter 18, and he tells him, he's like, Lord, are you going to spare Sodom and Gomorrah? Like, if there's, and he started out with 50 righteous. And then he goes down, right? And Abraham starts thinking about that area and knowing how wicked it is. And then he finally says, Lord, would you spare that city for 10 righteous people? Just 10. And the Lord said, I'll spare it. And then you get into Genesis chapter number 19. And Lot, being warned of the angels that came and spoke to him, right, about Sodom and Gomorrah getting ready to be destroyed. And so Lot goes to his family and lets them know what's getting ready to come. Do you remember what his family did? What'd they do? They laughed. They laughed at him. In other words, his testimony was a joke. It was trash. And so there wasn't 10 righteous there. We know God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember how many people actually fled from Sodom and Gomorrah? You're close. There was 4. It was 4. It was Lot and his wife and 2 daughters. 4 people God spared, and they were semi-righteous, right? Bad testimony. And then what happened to Lot's wife? She looked back. So then we come to Luke chapter 18. So we find those, you know, God's recounting some things for us. In Luke chapter 17, Hey, remember what took place here and how bad things were. And I came in and I destroyed. And then we come to Luke chapter 18. So let's read Luke chapter 18. Then I'll pray. And so we'll read the scripture. We're going to observe what it said. I'll make some application. I'm going to even get you to help me make some application. This is Sunday school, right? School. You're the student, right? So I'm going to get you to help me with this. So Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Verse number 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you. And Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that you will lead, guide, and direct in our Sunday school time. Help us to gain some understanding from your word. And Father, may you help us to apply it to our lives. And Father, may we grow closer to you. I thank you for each and every person that's here today. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Alrighty, so Luke chapter 18. I'll go through each of these verses, make a few comments, and then we'll get to the application. Parable, verse number 1. Jesus is speaking a parable unto them that men ought to always pray and not to faint. A parable is a short story that's used to teach some type of spiritual lesson or meaning. Verse number 2, we come to it and it says, there is a city that has a judge who feared not God. This man did not fear God. He didn't regard, the Bible tells us, he did not regard man. He probably didn't care about men or humans. He had probably no sympathy, and he didn't care what others think about maybe what he does or says. You know anybody like that? You know, some people just don't seem like they care at all. Always angry, always moody. And so anyhow, that's this judge. We find this judge, he just didn't care about anything. And then in verse number 3, we see this widow that's in this city. And she comes to him and she says, avenge me of mine adversary. She's saying, I need some what? Help. I need some help. I want you to come and help me. And so she's going to this judge and requesting some help. Verses 4 and 5, we see that the judge was willing to. Apparently, this widow was continually coming to the judge. Now, we don't know. We can maybe infer this from Scripture. But apparently, this widow was either coming to him continually, or maybe her reputation was such that he knew that she would, right? Y'all know any ladies who nag? Don't look at your wives now, okay? Everybody look up here. I don't want you to get in trouble. But, you know, a female can nag sometimes. I guess maybe males can too. I don't know. I don't want to get myself in trouble. But so here's this lady, and we don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us, but she was either constantly coming to him and asking for help, nagging him, you know, or maybe she had that reputation that was such that, man, if I don't do something, the judge, like she's going to wear me out, constantly coming to me. And so we see here in verse 5, he finally protected her, or he at least granted some type of justice on her adversary. Verse number 6. Verse number 6, hear what the unjust judge saith. So the Lord is saying, did you hear what he said? He went ahead and he pardoned her. He took care of, or avenged her, I'm sorry, of her adversary. He took care of the situation. And then verse number 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Shall not God take care of his own? Is he going to help you and I? The word of God tells us that he'll never leave us nor what? Forsake us. I think sometimes we forget about that. You ever feel alone? You ever feel abandoned? I send out a devotional weekly text. And this past week it was on Psalm chapter number 13. And sometimes we can feel alone in our lives. We can feel abandoned. We can feel even anxious. And the Lord will help us. We just got to keep on keeping on. I believe that's what the end of that verse is saying, Psalm chapter number 13. It tells us to continue to trust in Him, rejoice always. It tells us to sing a song. Y'all enjoy singing? I enjoyed the song earlier. Thank you. I appreciate it. I enjoy singing. Love it. Absolutely love it. And then at the very last part of Psalm chapter 13, it talks about remembering. Remembering how good God has been to us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If the unjust judge will take care of this woman in her situation, how much more will God take care of you and I? And sometimes we lose focus of that because of the problems that we're going through. And I'll get into maybe some of that with the message to follow. Look there in verse number 7, the very last word. It's a plural pronoun, and it's them. The word them. I read this passage over several times, and I was trying to figure out, who does the them refer to? So let me read the verse to you. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I was wondering, who is the them referring to? I thought at first was the them referring to his own elect. But I don't think the them is referring to his own elect. I believe the them is referring to the ungodly. The ones who are creating havoc for us. He says, shall not God avenge his own elect, right? Take care of us. And then he says, though he bear long with them. I believe he's given those, what he's trying to tell us here in this passage, that he's trying to give those wicked individuals time to get saved, time to turn things around in their lives. We just read Luke chapter 17, right? We talked about the second coming, right? And so now here we see a widow woman. He's given a parable right on the heels of this. And I believe he's saying that he wants to give them a time to turn things around in their life, to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Aren't you glad God gave us some time? Aren't you glad that he didn't give up on us? Man, I am so thankful. I was hard-headed for a long time. Okay, maybe I still am at times, right? My wife can testify to that. But here it is, God is being patient with the wicked, trying to give them a chance to turn things around and make things right in their life. Sometimes, as we go through things in our lives, and we wonder, why, God, are you not taking care of this? Have you ever had that thought? Is it just me? Why, God, are you not helping me right now? I can only take, right, so much. Y'all familiar with the passage, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6? Remember what it says? Anybody remember what verse 1 is? Let not your heart be troubled. Remember this passage? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, right? You know, and then, you know, Thomas is wanting to know, Lord, we don't know the way, and how can we know, right? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but what? By me. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Love that passage. But you know, there's a parenthesis, if you will, in that passage. Like, if you will, the beginning, you got it. The end, we're going to be with Him forever, right? We're going to be with Him for all of eternity. But He tells us, when we're going through something, let not your heart be troubled. That in-between time, waiting for eternity to come, that can be a difficult time for us. The things that we have to go through here in this life, you think about when we lose a loved one. Man, how difficult that is. Last year, August the 4th, two people that I know, one is a very dear friend of mine. She and I went to high school together. She ended up, her and her husband, have been to all three of our children are married, our three oldest are married. Her and her husband came to all three of our oldest children's wedding and helped us out, right? And so last year, August the 4th, her husband passed away suddenly, unexpectedly, and rocked her world. Our senior chaplain, where I'm stationed, that same day, within a few hours of each other, his wife passed away. Difficult time. And he and I have talked many times about what he has gone through. That in-between time, let not your heart be troubled. He's coming back for us, right? That in-between time sometimes can be super difficult. Sometimes we can sit back and think, my goodness, how much can I go through? Is this going to end, right? When is God going to take care of? And you just fill in the blank. God will take care of us. What I've learned over the years, and it's a hard lesson, is sometimes we're not on His timetable and He's not on ours. We want Him to take care of this right now, right? And He says, no, not now. There's a lesson to be learned. Verse number eight. It says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? The psalmist said this in Psalm 12 and verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. So we took a look at our scripture. We observed what was being said here in scripture. Now it's your turn. You get an opportunity to speak. He says, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? The psalmist says, help, Lord, for the faithful fail from among everyone, right? What areas can you and I be faithful in? So, here's an opportunity for you to speak this morning. God expects us to be faithful. In how many areas? Anybody got an idea? All areas. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Right? And so in every area of life, we should be faithful. I was leaving our neighborhood yesterday morning with my wife, and we had a honey-do list to go take care of at this place called Lowe's. And it was supposed to be about an hour trip. 2 hours probably plus later we get back home. And we are both trying to contain our frustration, right? You know, like, because we had things at the house that needed to be done. And now Lowe's has cut into our time. On our way there, I noticed some things. There were people out in their yard. Do you have any idea what they were doing on a Saturday morning? They were taking care of that grass, the yard. I saw this one guy and he had a weed eater. My wife wants me to teach her how to use a weed eater. And I'm like, you do not want me to teach you how to use a weed eater. Trust me. You do not want to. Like, ignorance sometimes is a bliss, right? Yeah. So my wife, really, she just needs to remain ignorant in this area, right? She does not need to know how to use a weed eater. And so we're on our way to Lowe's, and I see this guy, and he is just like getting that edge just right on his driveway. Other people are out mowing their lawns. And I got to thinking about how much God has blessed our family with. Just our family, first of all. But then you think about the things that He's allowed you to have. Are we faithful in taking care of those things that God has given us? Our homes, our yards, our vehicles, you know. So, I'm going to pause and give you a chance. What are some things, some areas in our lives where you and I need to be faithful? Now, please, not everybody at once. Yes, sir. In church, right? The Bible tells us, forsake what? Not the assembling of ourselves together. So you're preaching to the choir. You're here, right? So you came this Sunday morning. All right? Coming to church, being faithful to church. Who said it? Prayer. Yeah. I used to have people years ago that would come up to me and they'd be like, hey, Brother Davidson. Or maybe when I was pastoring, hey, pastor. Or now that I've been a chaplain, hey, chaplain, would you pray for my mama? She's sick or she's getting ready to have surgery. Sure, yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, thanks for letting me know. And you know, you walk away from that situation, and if you're like me, what happens? It is gone. It is gone. Because somebody else comes up to me and says, hey, did you know the storm's coming in town? It's getting ready to start raining and thundering, and they're calling for tornadoes. So now what's my mind on? This storm that's coming, and I have forgot about so-and-so's mama that maybe is sick or is going to have surgery or whatever. And I've walked away from those situations and just completely forgot to pray. And then I'll see them again. Hey, my mama's doing better. Thank you for your prayers. I feel about this big, right? Oh, you're welcome. God, I'm sorry, I forgot to pray for his mama, her mama, whatever. So what I've started doing is when somebody tells me a situation and asks me, hey, would you pray about this? Sometimes what I'll do is I will pray with them right there. You know, and just that way I don't forget about it. And I'm being faithful in that area. If they're leaving and maybe I'm headed somewhere, as I walk away, I just start the prayer. And I've tried over the past several years to just have an attitude of prayer, heart. I have, at times, stopped closing my prayer and just keeping that thing open, right? Because I know that there's going to be something else I need to pray about. Okay, so church, praying. What's something else? Who said it? I heard. Was that you? Okay, yes, very good. Reading your Bible. See, aren't you glad that I made you read this morning? Y'all can check it off the block, right? Man, I read today. I started this week off right. And so, now tomorrow morning's a different situation, right? You go wake up late for work or for going outside and feeding the chickens or whatever it is you do. That's what we do at our house. We got to feed some chickens and some goats. Reading God's Word, He says when He returns, is He going to find us being faithful? So, attending church, praying, reading our Bible. What's another area that we can be faithful in? Yes, ma'am. Keeping our testimony. Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm preaching tonight in Enterprise. I believe that's the direction the Lord's leading in. Keeping our testimony. You're our piano player, is that right? Yeah, did a good job. Thank you. I appreciate it. And maybe a couple pointers I can show you later. I can't play. I'll just be honest with you. But no, thank you for playing. I appreciate it. Keeping our testimony. Yesterday at Lowe's. Man. My wife and I, when we had three small kids, and I was pastoring, we were at this store in the city where we lived. And there was somebody paying for their stuff, and we were the next customer, right? And it's one of those, like, Tractor Supply places, you know, or whatever. And so we're standing there, we're, you know, talking with their kids, we're talking with each other, you know, whatever, and this person's paying for their stuff. The person gets done and leaves. And as I reach into our shopping cart to get something, this person from outside comes in and gets right in line and puts their stuff on the counter. And so I'm bent over and I'm putting my stuff, and I look at this person. Now, how many of you would have said something? Don't answer that. And so the cashier looks at me like, uh-oh, this is getting ready to be bad. And so the cashier looks at me, and I was like, and I look at my wife, and she's like, I don't know, whatever. He never acknowledged that he cut line. Is it that big of a deal? In the grand scheme of things, is it that big of a deal? And it's not. Is it worth me losing my testimony over? Hey, pal, I was standing here. I don't know what you're smoking. Right? You know what's interesting about that situation? That guy and his wife started coming to our church about a month or two later. Could you imagine if I'd said something to him? You must be an idiot. I'm getting ready to knock you out. Like, you know, and then they come in and see me up there as the pastor. Like, yeah, we ain't staying here at this church. Your testimony. Man, you may be, and y'all have heard this before, you know it. You may be the only Bible that some folks ever read. And what are they reading when they see your life? What is your testimony like? Somebody else. Thank you for sharing. I know there's got to be one more. Say it again. The Great Commission. What is a Great Commission? There you go. All righty. Very good. Preach the gospel. We should share Jesus Christ with others, but then we should also disciple them, right? I personally think in our independent Baptist churches, now I'm just kind of speaking like as a whole, we sometimes do a good job of witnessing and sharing Jesus Christ. I think sometimes, like, we drop the ball when it comes to discipling and helping that person, like grow in their newfound faith. So I think sometimes we miss the mark a little bit with that. I'm not saying maybe your church does. I'm just saying as a whole, right? Some of the churches that my bride and I have been in over the years. So the Great Commission. We should be about sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. What's another area that we can be faithful in? Woo, who said it? There he is. Yeah, okay, very good. Man, somebody else say it besides the preacher, please. That preacher, the only thing he was cared about is tithing, money, whatever. Yeah. You know, we should be giving of the first fruits. There's a verse in, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 3. Is that right? Isn't that the verse, the passage that you taught your kids that time? Yeah, Proverbs chapter 3. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 3. And it talks about the first fruits of our increase. Giving God of our increase. When I was pastoring, there was a little old man that started coming to our church. Little bitty fella. And he was like 82 years old. But he was probably about 5 feet tall. And this man would go by the grocery store and he would buy groceries for he and his wife. And then he would buy groceries for my family and myself. And he would bring it, he'd pull in our driveway and knock on the door, ring the doorbell, whatever. And he'd have a bag of groceries and he'd say, I can't buy for my family and ignore my pastor. And so my wife and I would take out, have we been increased? Stay with me now. We've been increased how? By groceries. And so we would take the groceries and lay it out on the table. And we'd sit there and go through it. Now, how much were these groceries? And we'd figure it up. Maybe sometimes it was $50, maybe sometimes it was more. You know what? It's a whole lot cheaper for me to give God $5 off of 50 versus going to the grocery store and trying to buy $50 worth of food. Does that make sense? Proverbs tells us that we should give off of, man, our increase. And my wife and I were increased. Our first year that I was pastoring, craziest thing, and I kept this for years just to show proof to people. But our first year that I was pastoring, I made $1,500 a month. Marcy and myself, and we had 3 kids at the time, $1,500 a month. Anybody got a guess at how much that is in a year? You're close. $18,000 for a husband, wife, and 3 kids. $18,000. But what's interesting, because people would take care of us by giving us food, slipping me a 50 at church unexpectedly and so forth. That year, my wife and I gave $6,000 back to the church. When we got our tithing report, I had no clue. I'm sitting there and I'm like, this can't be right. I made $18,000 last year. How in the world did we give $6,000 back? And you know what? We didn't miss a meal. God took care of our bills. And He does when you put Him first, right? Alrighty, I think our time's about over with, and I don't want to get in hot water. Think about areas in your life where you can be more faithful, where you should be more faithful than what you are right now. Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, may You draw us all closer to You. Father, to be the Christians that You desire for us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.